It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, it's Glenn Coble back again, this time with Swap Shop. It's a little bit different.
We are doing Swap Shop year-round.
We have decided that we need to keep it going because we know it's going to come back. The COVID has kind of put it on semi-hold. We still have an occasional person call in with something that they're looking for or something they want to sell. And we occasionally have somebody call in with a notification of some event that's going on, and we will be more than happy to put that on for all you not-for-profit things. So if you're interested in doing that, call us at 740-383-9944. We do ask that you not try to sell cars or houses or guns or boats. Anything that has to be registered, we don't like to take. Okay, that's what we're doing, and it's Swap Shop. If you want to call in, you're more than welcome to. Again, the number is 740-383-9944. And I've decided we normally get a theme for the Swap Shop, and today's theme I'm going to read four poems. We're going to end it with Elizabeth Barrett Browning's "How Do I Love Thee," and in there we'll have William Shakespeare, E.E. Cummings, and the very first one, which I'm going to read to you. It's got a couple of rough words in it, but I think you'll understand that they're not my words. They're just part of this poem, okay? So I'm going to read this. And the reason why I'm doing stuff about loving, I'm also going to read to you several quotes about love. Get you all ready, you know. It's only 2 weeks away to Valentine's Day, and you need to have something you can say to your wife or your husband that'll make you look smart and loving, right? So I'm going to give you some hints by giving you quotes of famous people and also reading these four love poems. Let me read this first one by W.H. Auden. The more loving one. Looking up at the stars, I know quite well that for all they care, I can go to hell. But on earth, indifference is the least we have to dread from man or beast. How would we like it if we were stars to burn with passion for us we could not return? If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. Admirer as I think I am of stars that do not give a damn, I cannot, now I see them, say I miss one terribly all day. Were all stars to disappear or die, I should learn to look at an empty sky and feel its total dark sublime, though this might take me a little time. Kind of with a little smile on your face, you can read that. And that always brings up an interesting question. Who loves one more than the other? And are you better off to be the one, as the poem talks about, the one that loves the more? Or are you better off if you're the one that loves the less? That's a question that you're going to have to answer for yourself. But I always felt that if I was the one, when I was young and I was courting, I always felt that if I was the one that loved slightly less than the other one, I was at an advantage. But I'm not sure that that really is love if you're worrying about advantage, right? I don't know. What do you think? Anyway, 740-383-9944. You can call in if you'd like to talk about love or if you have something to sell. It's kind of an eclectic show, right? But we're going to go through some of these quotes that people have said about love. And this one is from Katharine Hepburn. Love has nothing to do. Excuse me just a second. Had to get that cough out of there. Love has nothing to do with what you are expecting to get, only with what you are expecting to give, which is everything. Interesting. Interesting. Sometimes I think people expect more out of love than they really get. And love is, isn't it? It's almost always, when you're young, it's almost always more exciting and more loving, I guess, at the beginning than it is 3 years later. Not that you love a person less. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say I love my wife far more than I did when we first got married. But I love her in a different way. Back when we got married, we were both handsome young people. And there was quite a bit of love involved in how one looked and acted towards each other. Now it's what we do for each other, you know. And I don't mean my wife washing the dishes or me taking out the trash. I mean things that we do for each other, like support. That's really where love goes, I think. And like I think the Greeks have seven words for love, we have one word. I suppose adore could be a second word, maybe. But the Greeks have it right with seven completely different words for the meaning of love. And I think there is all, and we all know in our hearts which way we mean. We just don't have words for it, right? Well, how often do you tell a person that you love them for their good nature? Very rarely do you do that. How often do you tell them that you love them because they picked up that kitty cat that was in a mud puddle? You know, different types of love, right? I don't know. Anyway, I hope that you are going to have a wonderful Valentine's Day. What do you do for your Valentine's Day? You're welcome to call in and tell us what you do for your Valentine's Day if you'd like to. 740-383-9944. I'll tell you what we do, my wife and I. We sit and look at TV. We didn't used to. But we do quite often go have a special bite to eat at a favorite restaurant. We usually like to go to Oriental restaurants on that day. And I used to bring candy home for her. Well, she liked the candy, but she didn't like to eat a whole box of candy. She didn't like all the calories I was taking to her. So we've kind of done away with the candy thing. And now that I'm kind of dieting, I'm just cutting back from what I was eating. I don't eat two pieces of bread on a sandwich anymore. You know, that kind of thing. I've just kind of cut back, and it's helping a little. It's not great, but it's and you do miss some things. I now have one cookie for dessert instead of two. You can see why I'm not the slimmest person in the world, but it seems to be working. I'm down about 3 pounds from where I started, so I guess it's working a little bit. Okay, here's another. This one's by Mahatma Gandhi. Anybody that would know anything about love, you would think Mahatma Gandhi would know a lot about love. Where there is love, there is life. Kind of interesting. I'm not sure. I don't think you can say that the other way around. Where there is life, there is love. But where there is love, there is life. And I think he means something a little deeper around the world, the word love or life, than just breathing. I think he's saying where there is love, there is value to life, it is kind of interesting. I've been thinking a lot about the word love lately, there are people that make fun of people that like to talk about love. I know a lot of macho guys who make fun of my friends or make fun of me. Maybe I don't know if they do. It's behind my back, but make fun of my friends who like to think about love, like to talk about love, because it's kind of a quote unquote girly thing. I don't. Maybe it's kind of just a smart thing to learn how to love, not a girly thing. I hope that you think it's a smart kind of thing, and not cast dispersions upon it. Well, why don't we read what E.E. Cummings wrote about it? Somewhere I have never traveled, gladly beyond any experience, your eyes have their silence. In your most frail gestures are things which enclose me, or which I cannot touch because they are too near. Your slightest look easily will unclose me, though I have closed myself as fingers. You open always, petals by petal, myself as spring opens, touching skillfully and mysteriously her first rose. Or if you wish to be close to me, I and my life will shut very beautifully, suddenly, as when the heart of this flower imagines the snow carefully everywhere descending. Nothing which we are to perceive in this world equals the power of your intense fragility, whose texture compels me with the color of its countries, rendering death and forever with each breathing. I do not know what it is about you that closes me and opens. Only something in me understands the voice of your eyes is deeper than all roses. Nobody, not even the rain, has such small hands. Kind of a strange poem. Now, E.E. Cummings is a strange poet, and I think that would be one of those poems, if I were in class again, that would be one of those poems that I'd have to read a dozen times to start to understand all those lines. But it's kind of it's kind of one of those poems that draws at your little synapses in your brain and makes you think about what love means to you. Obviously, E.E. Cummings has a kind of a strange little brain and makes you think. And I like thinking. That's one of the things that I really enjoy about having a radio show. I spend, 2, 3, maybe 4 hours each night before my show trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And like I've told you all, I asked my dog. She doesn't really talk a lot, but my dog helps me out. She gives me moral support, right? But I like thinking, and I love this show. I love all three of the shows that I work on because it makes me think more. And as you get older, I think you need to think more. I play a game on my phone that I'm told makes me think more agilely. I don't do it all day long like some people play games, but I think we, as we get older, we need to stay agile in our brains, and we need to stay agile in our emotions, including our emotions of love, because one day they're going to be gone, and you won't be able to enjoy the agiles or the agility of your brain. I hope that doesn't happen very soon for you or me, for that matter. All right, let's go here and see what. Okay. Oop, I hit the wrong button here. This one is by Emily Bronte. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. That's kind of an interesting quote by Emily. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. That brings up an interesting question. Do people with like minds, as Emily says, do they fall in love more easily than people of opposite minds? My wife and I are very different. She is a quiet, reticent woman that's afraid, not afraid, but not really inclined to go out in public. Doesn't like small talk. We are very similar in our political bent. However, when we married, we were not. I was a Republican and she was a Democrat. But we both love animals. There are a lot of things that we have as similarities, but we also have very different personalities. She's very, I'm very outgoing and she's not. She is very to herself. Her mother and father were very quiet people. Dad Makovsky was a medical doctor, and her mother was very active in social things in my father's church. They happened to go to my dad's church, but they were not what you would call social butterflies. They were pretty much to themselves. Dad liked to fish a lot, or Dad Makovsky. Their last name was Makovsky. They were the dad's parents were directly off the boat from Bohemia, which is in Czechoslovakia, which apparently is not the same place anymore. But I'm not so certain that you have to be of similar minds to be in love, as this poem Emily Brontke says, whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. I would say that if you have very similar minds, it would only enhance being with that person. And I think a lot of people that think that they are of same mind with their spouse really don't know their spouse as well as they might be able to. When my wife and I got married, I probably thought that she and I were twins. You know, we were had the same minds. But as we've grown older and had a few fights, we have found that we don't agree on everything, and that's not bad. We've also found that we can agree to disagree. Now, we've had some loud shouting disagreements, but almost always the next day everything's okay. We do go by the old adage that never go to bed without kissing and saying you love me, or you love the person. We always go to bed with a kiss and say I love you, and I would say 99% of the time we mean it. Okay, here's another. This one's from Agatha Christie. It is a curious thought, but it is only when we see people looking ridiculous that you could realize just how much you love them. I've often heard that women love in a different way than men, especially Women tend to love men that can make them laugh. Or at least I've heard them say that a lot. Now, I am not a woman, so I'm not quite sure I know that to be true. But I'm pretty certain that one of the reasons why my wife cared for me when we were younger is that I did make her laugh. And I think she's complained to me that I don't make her laugh as much anymore. Well, I'm sorry. If she'd listen to my show, she might laugh occasionally. Not that I'm very humorous on my show. She would just know where I was being silly. And she used to laugh at everything I said. Almost was annoying. Okay. Let us continue on. We're going to read, this one is a really heavy-duty poem. I think I've told you that I was a speech and drama major in college, so I had to do some Shakespeare, and this one's by Shakespeare. I was not good at memorizing, so I didn't stay in it. I was an actor for 2 years, and though I enjoyed doing it, I just wasn't very good at the memorization part. And you have to be able to memorize. And especially lines like what I'm about to read you. They were very difficult for me to memorize, all right? This one is, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometimes too hot the eyes of heaven shine, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometimes declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed, but the eternal summer shall not fade. Nor lose possession of that fair that thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade. When in eternal lines to heaven thou growest, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Kind of heavy. Heavy stuff. Again, one of those things that I would have to, if Mrs. Filipowski, my English professor, would ask me what that meant, I'd have to say to her, I'm not sure I'll have to go home and read that a few more times, right? Some of that stuff that Shakespeare said, I love listening to a good Shakespeare actor who can make it sound like something you would say in the public courtyard. Very few can read Shakespeare and make it that understandable. I cannot, and I'm sorry. I wish I could. And I've read this, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day, many times, and never have I understood it completely. But the words are so nice. They kind of flow, don't they? They're cool. Anyway, okay, this is a quote from Victor Hugo about love. The greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved for ourselves, or rather loved in spite of ourselves. Now, sometimes that's what a relationship is about. I'm absolutely certain that my wife loves me for myself, but she also loves me in spite of myself when I do stupid stuff. Matter of fact, that's some of the stuff that she likes to laugh at when I do stupid stuff. But you know, one of the really bad things about getting older is if you just sit in your rocking chair, or you sit on your couch, and don't talk with the other person. The other person's sitting there reading their phone or typing into a blog or just, you got to find a time to talk to each other. Now, my wife and I talk to each other quite a bit because both of us like the same type of of educational shows. We both like politics. We both like learning about the world, learning about animals. We both like the similar things. So we do a lot of talking rather than just, you know, have you ever gone out to, at dinner time and sat in a restaurant? I know you haven't for the last year, but sat in a restaurant and watched people sitting at the table with their food, stuffing the food in their mouth while they're reading their phone. I just don't understand that. Now, I understand there are times when the phone will buzz and you'll pick it up because you have to look at what the question, what somebody's asking of you, or you have to respond to it. But I find it a lot more enjoyable, and it's probably better for my innards. I put my phone on mute or do not disturb when I go out to eat. That way I don't, I'm not rude. Or at least I try not to be rude with my phone. It'll be up to you if you go out to eat with me whether I'm rude or not. But the phone is not going to make me rude. I will not talk to the phone instead of you. I think it's important if you love somebody to share conversation with each other. And you know, even if you're sitting around watching television and you're on your couch and she's on in the comfortable chair, look over at her and say, well, what do you think? Do you think that's the murderer or not? My wife and I have gotten into this BritBox. What's the name of the show? It's called Death in Paradise. And the shows, almost every one of the shows are pretty much the same. But it's kind of fun. We say, what do you think? That guy's the killer? Or do you think this guy's the killer or this girl's the killer? We have conversations. And usually by the end of the show, we know who the bad guy was. Yeah. And the nice thing about, by the way, the nice thing about Death in Paradise, even though the name is a little harsh, the Death in Paradise, they kill the person off right at the beginning of the show, and they don't show it. They don't show somebody being stabbed. Well, I think I saw them show that, kind of. But they don't actually show the blood spurting and the person screaming and stuff like that. It's kind of, you find out, you don't really know they're dead until the music starts. And the neat thing about this show is it's takes place in the Caribbean, so the music is, you know, steel drums and that sort of thing, and it's really cool music, great beat, and the beauty of the scenery, oh my goodness, it's just a gorgeous show. So that's another reason why we watch it. But my wife and I talk throughout the whole thing, even though we're sitting there. Quite often we're eating or we're having our dessert, or we're sitting on the couch and she's sitting behind her computer, which is always on. But anyway, we talk. We can converse with each other. I think that makes love a lot easier to grow. And I highly suggest you think about doing more talking and less looking at your phone, less looking at your computer. I think you'll find it makes you a smarter person, and it also makes you a more interesting person and makes your love a little stronger. I really believe that. All right. Joyce Carol Oates said this: in love, there are two things, bodies and words. Well, that's a little rough. Bodies and words. Well, that's probably very true. Here's one from Zora Neale Hurston. Love makes your soul crawl out from its hiding place. That certainly is true. You, if you're truly in love with somebody, you're going to shed all your beliefs. You're going to let them know where you stand. My family is very... Well, my elder two children are very outgoing, very talkative. And when the three of us, or the five of us, get together, you can't get a word in edgewise. My youngest is not so outcoming with words. But when he does speak, they'll melt you, I guarantee you. And that's another type of love. That's not the type of love, I don't think that's the type of love that you share with your wife or your husband. The love for your children is something different. It may even be more intense. Kind of depends on your relationship and the type of people that you are. But mine is more intense than even my love for my wife. And I like that. I like the fact that I am absolutely in love with my three children. I didn't think that I would ever love my grandchildren as much, but boy, I'm finding out that they're pretty good too. It's all different. Different levels of love. That's why I wish we had more words that would say love. We don't have enough words that describe love. Now, I'm going to finish off my poems here. Not that right now, but my next one is probably one that you've heard several times. It's called How Do I Love Thee? And it's by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And we'll do that probably in about 5 or 10 minutes so that we can end up the day on what I guess you would call a pretty typical love poem. It's not typical in the way it's written. It's written far above typical. But it's something, it's more open about love. You know, it's more lovey-dovey, to use a different phrase. And we'll do that here in about 8 minutes, all right? If you're interested and you'd like to say something about love, please feel free to call me, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. This is Swap Shop, but we understand during COVID and during the winter, there's not a whole lot of swapping going on, right? And so we will keep the numbers open for you. If you have something that you do want to get rid of, feel free to give us a call. Or if you want to announce an event that you're going to have, please feel free to call that number, and we'll put it on the air so that people will know all about it. Oh, this is a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche, or Nietzsche, depending on how you pronounce it. Very famous philosopher and a religious person. And anyway, he's just very famous. I think my father used to pronounce it Nietzsche, but I think some people pronounce it Nietzsche. Okay, here it is. There is always some madness in love. But there is also always some reason in madness. Kind of scary. Wonder what the reason in the madness might be. And is he saying that love can bring on madness? I don't know. There is always some madness in love, but there is also always some reason in madness. again, one of those quotes that it would take you a while to figure out what he meant. As a matter of fact, I think you'd have to go to him and ask him what he meant by that, because that could be very, very deep. There is always some madness in love, but there is also always some reason in madness. Okay. Zelda Fitzgerald said this. Nobody has ever measured, even poets, how much a heart can hold. You know, that brings up an interesting point as well. You know, what is love? What's love got to do with it? No, what is love? Obviously, it's not in your heart. I've had my heart opened up because of my heart disease, and they've gone in there with a what do they call them? Little thing that looks inside your heart. They've gone in there, and I don't think they saw anything that looked like love in there. But we always use the heart as the seat of love. And in fact, love is just an emotional emotion that you feel, and you probably feel it. Well, your head tells you that it makes you a little short of breath when you're in love, right? You're kind of excited. Your heart rate goes up, but that doesn't mean the heart is where the love is. The love is in your head. And you know, as a matter of fact, it's interesting to hear that some people believe the reason why there is a heart, you know, for Valentine's Day and stuff like that is because it's symbolic of a lady leaning over from the backside. Now, I know that some people, well, I think I heard that on Big Bang Theory, so it may not be true. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm just saying that when you get your information from Big Bang Theory, you got to take it with a grain of salt, right? But anyway, that the idea that you can't measure and what the heart can hold. The heart can hold X number of cc's of blood, but that's not what this person means. That the how big can your heart extend? How much? You have to throw the word love in there. How much love can you hold? Some people are better at expressing and feeling love, I guess, than other people. I am not real good at either. I am very emotional. I am very, I cry when I see kittens being saved from an icy lake and stuff like that. But that doesn't, I'm not sure that that's altogether love. Anyway, have enough courage to trust love one more time, and always one more time. Let me read that again. Have enough courage to trust love one more time, and always one more time. And that was a quote from Maya Angelou. That's interesting. In other words, love is never ending. You need to keep loving, even if you're going to get your heart broken. And there we go using the heart term, but for a lack of better explanation, that's what I'm going to use. And you need to love, and then you need to love one more time. You need to forgive and forgive one more time. That's something my mother always tried to stress to me, is the turn the cheek type thing. If you forgive somebody, and there, it's not that you're being a big person until you forgive them one more time and one more time and one more time and one more time. That's when you become a big person yourself. So love is the same thing. You might get hurt in love, but that's you that's getting hurt. So just fall in love again. And you can fall in love with the same person dozens of times, right? I don't know. Maybe that's too heavy. All right, let's go over this poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And it's very famous. You'll recognize it. How do I love thee? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and the breadth and the height my soul can reach when I'm feeling out of sight. For the ends of being and the ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise to love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life, and if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. That's, you know, we always say in our, marriage vows that we will love you forever, and we will love you. I'm sorry, I'm looking something up here. We will love you till the end of our lives. Does it go on beyond that? I personally don't believe it does, but for those of you who have heavy faith or are strong in your beliefs of life after death, of course it must go on. If you believe in that, more power to you. I wish I could believe that way. Here's a quote from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking onward toward, but in looking onward together in the same direction. That's, you know, planning ahead. Here we have a phone call. Let's go to the phone and see what this person has to say. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, I still have a utility trailer.
Okay. Yeah, tell us about it.
It's originally was a farm trailer. It can be pulled behind a lawn tractor or a tractor or an automobile. It's all steel. Got a tilt bed on it. It's 71 and a half long by 46 wide by 12 inches deep.
How long was it again? I missed that. I'm sorry.
71 and a half inches.
Okay.
Side dimensions.
Gotcha.
46 by 12. And solid axle with 16-inch tires on it.
Okay.
I'll take $75 for it.
Okay, we'll announce that. We've only got a couple of minutes. I'll announce it one more time. Let me get your phone number.
740-389-1611.
740-389-1611. Well, we'll see if we can't get somebody to give you a holler.
Okay, thanks, Glenn.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Right at the last minute here, but we do have swap shop item. I've only got about a minute and a half, so I'm going to read it back to you. He has a farm trailer, and he even has a tilt bed on it. It's 46 inches wide. Apparently, it's 12 inches deep. I suppose that means it has railings around the edge or something along that line. And it's 71 inches long. And he really wants a very. It's got a solid axle with 16-inch wheels. He only wants $75 for it. Somebody ought to want that. Actually, if my wife would let me do it, I'd buy it right now because I've been looking at one of this. But I have a trailer in my driveway and two cars in my driveway, and I can't get into my garage, so I'm sure she'd give me all sorts of grief if I tried to do that. Let me give you that again. Farm trailer, the tilts, is 71 inches long, 46 inches wide. All he needs is $75 for it at 740-389-1611. Let me give you that number one last time because we're about to get off the air. 740-389-1611. Well, I hope you have a good day, and I hope I haven't been too heavy on today's subjects, love and Buckeye Chuck. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.